Turn with us to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and beginning at verse number 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, the subject tonight, simply titled, Predestination. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Is predestination a Bible doctrine?
Amen.
Yes or no? It is. It is a Bible doctrine. Predestination is the decree of God by which He has from eternity unchangeably appointed and determined whatsoever comes to pass. The eternal counsel and purpose of God Almighty will be accomplished. It will be done. We pray, Thy will be done. It will be done.
Amen.
Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. I want you to notice this if you have your Bible tonight. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. And reading down to verse 11. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. Well, we all believe in the same God, you know, the Buddhists and the Muslims. I believe in Jehovah God, not Allah.
Amen.
You see, Allah had no son.
That's right.
Jehovah has a son. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
Big difference there.
Amen.
And there is none else. Verse number 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. What? The things that are not yet done? He has already declared those things. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east. Remember when he fed Elijah? The man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. God will accomplish His will, His plan, in His time, in His way.
Amen.
He is God.
Amen.
Dr. B.H. Carroll, the founder of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, great preacher of the gospel, born about 35 miles from where I now live in Carroll County, not named after his family, but nevertheless, Carroll County, said this about Romans 8, 29 and 30. Very interesting. He says, everyone that God chose in Christ is drawn by the Spirit of Christ. Everyone predestinated is called by the Spirit in time and justified in time and will be glorified when the Lord comes.
Amen.
Now, he said exactly what I believe.
Amen.
This is what the Bible teaches. Once again, I ask you the question, is predestination a Bible doctrine? It's in there, isn't it? I have people tell me and say, I don't believe in predestination. I say, what do you do with Romans 8, 29 and 30? Well, they get marbles in their mouth.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it is a Bible doctrine. It's in the Word of God. And the answer is still yes. It is in the Word of God. It is Bible. And it will continue to be yes throughout all of the ages to come, as it has been throughout all of the ages that are past. All history is ever before the God of the universe. It's before Him. He sees it all. He is omniscient. I worked at the First National Bank, as I said, in Louisville, Kentucky. And they had a parade in Louisville one day, and I said, look, I'm going to go up on the roof, 40 stories tall. I said, I don't have time to go down and watch the parade, but I'd like to see some of it, and I don't want to have to go out there and come back in. So I took the elevator, went to the top, and then took stairs, went up on the roof, 40 stories up. And I stood up there. Listen, when there's a rail like about there, and you're 40 stories up, it feels like that rail's way down there. I mean, you're looking 40 stories down. And you know what I saw? Something I'd never seen before. The whole parade. I saw the whole parade. I saw the beginning and I saw the end. I looked at it, I said, isn't this cool? I see the whole parade. And you know what God sees? He sees the whole parade.
Amen.
We see it one unit at a time. He sees the whole parade. For He is God. Now I want us to look at some Bible illustrations tonight of predestination. In Acts chapter 2, in verses 23 and 24, we find that Peter preached predestination on the day of Pentecost. He preached predestination on the day of Pentecost. Verse 23, Him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. Now notice verse 23 again. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Did Judas Iscariot betray the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, he did, for 30 pieces of silver. Did he not turn the Lord Jesus over to the Romans?
Yes.
And then Jesus was turned over to the priest. And the priest turned Him over to Pontius Pilate. And then Pontius Pilate turned Him over to the soldiers for crucifixion. And Jesus died on the cross. And the disciples put Him in a tomb, Joseph of Arimathea and also Nicodemus. I didn't say apostles, I said disciples of the Lord. They put Him in a tomb. The government set a seal on the tomb.
Right.
Put soldiers there. But I want you to notice something that we read here in Acts chapter 2 and verses 23 and 24. It was already decreed 1,000 years before His death, burial, and resurrection that He would arise and He would not suffer death. It was written 1,000 years before the resurrection that He would be resurrected.
Amen.
We find that in Psalm 16 and verse 10. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. That is predestination. That is the purpose of God being fulfilled. The determinate will of God. In the days of the apostles, people were being put to death because of their faith. The Christians were being oppressed by the Roman government. They were tortured. They were fed to the lions. They were beheaded. We know that to be true. Yet, out of this context, Paul wrote by inspiration these words, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good. Do you really believe those words? I do. All things work together for good. That's what the Bible says. If so, we believe in God's immutable, sovereign purpose. If you believe Romans 8:28, really believe it, you believe in His purpose as seen in predestination. The prophet Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 1, and in verses 5 through 11, was sent to announce the coming destruction of the holy city of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans. And the destruction did come. And there was rape and cruelty and bloodshed. Now I want you to notice what is said here. Habakkuk 1 in verse 5, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." You're not going to believe it whether I tell you or not. You know there are people who don't believe the Bible whether you tell them or not. They don't believe the truths whether you tell them or not. Verse 5, "For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it." Verse 11, "Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God." Now that's predestined. That was said to happen. Notice chapter 2, verse 3 in Habakkuk, where it says this, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." I mean, this is coming. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." You think it's not going to happen. Where's the promise of His coming? Right. He said He's coming. Is He coming?
Right.
He's coming. God's purpose and plan will be fulfilled. And what is God's word for the prophet during this trying time? Chapter 2 of Habakkuk, verse number 4. Where it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by" what? Faith.
Amen.
We're to live by faith. We may not have seen the worst, and I don't believe we have seen the worst that's going to come on this country.
Right.
But you and I are to live by faith. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis, the 18th chapter, and reading at verse number 9. Here we find a heavenly visit to the tents of Abraham and Sarah, assuring them that a child would be born to them. And at this announcement, the Bible tells us Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed and said, how can it be? I'm old. He's old. Let's read it. Genesis 18, verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Couldn't have any children. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, being old also, how can this be that we would have a child? Well, years before, God had decreed that a son would be born to Abraham. Not a son of the flesh, but a son of the Spirit. A son that God would give him. One out of his own loins. And we look at Genesis 15 and verse number 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. I don't have an heir, except this Eliezer. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. One who comes from the depths of yourself, he will be your heir. You see, this was God's purpose and plan, and this was done according to predestination. It's what it is. The purposes of God are never subverted by anything. Time cannot frustrate the purposes of Jehovah. Amen. Time cannot do that. Joseph of old was hated by his brothers. They hated him. They hated his pretty coat. They didn't like the fact that his daddy doted over him. And he had his coat of many colors. He was sold into slavery. You say, that's only because Reuben came in and said, don't kill him. You think God had anything to do with that?
Amen.
You see, God had a purpose again. And so, he's sold into slavery. These folks in this caravan going by, had a chance to go out into the desert areas and see where those caravans came through. And they sold him into slavery. He was sold into Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife told a big, fat lie.
Right.
And he went to prison. Met a couple of fellas there. One of them got hung. The other one was saved. And Joseph said, look, when you get out of here, you be sure and talk to the Pharaoh. Guess what? The fellow forgot. Now, you say, that's not a good thing that he forgot. Wasn't time for him to remember.
Right.
Amen? Wasn't time for him to remember. Wasn't God's timing yet. But then, when the famine came, the fellow says, I remember somebody. He's in touch with God. And Joseph went before the Pharaoh. I love it where it says he washed up and shaved and, you know, got all fixed up to go before the great Pharaoh. And his brothers came to get groceries. Amen?
Right.
They came to get supplies out of Canaan, and he didn't let on who he was. He learned how to speak that Egyptian, you know. And boy, he took them for a ride for a while, didn't he? I kind of enjoy that part too, where he took that took that goblet and stuck it down in the grain. And oh boy, there, I don't know what we're going to do. Daddy's going to kill us if we don't bring back a little Benjamin, and if we don't do right, and this, that, and the other. They kept one, then Benjamin's involved in it. I mean, you talk about a mess. It's a mess. And then once he's revealed, they're scared. He's going to do away with us because we're the ones that sold him into slavery. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. They were afraid. Genesis 50:18 says, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." If God's plan of predestination had not been fulfilled, which it cannot do anything but be fulfilled, if it had not happened, they would have been cut off. They would have died of starvation. But God has a plan and a purpose for Israel.
Amen.
And that plan's not over yet.
That's
not finished yet. And every time Miss Hillary says something about Israel and wants them to give over more land and turn over more things, it makes me think we're in trouble. I believe we ought to be a blessing to Israel.
Amen.
We need to be. We ought to stand with Israel. It's an important thing that we would do that. And then Joseph neared the time of death, time for him to go to Jehovah God. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 24 of this 50th chapter of Genesis. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Now let me tell you something. He believed in God's plan. You see, 390 years would go by before his bones would get out of there. But his bones are going.
Amen.
You see, he believed it. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Whenever you leave, put my bones on the buggy."
Yep.
So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. You know, they did that down in Egypt before any other time. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You say, where is he now? Let's go over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. Notice it with me. Joshua 24, 32. More water for the fish. Now, Joshua 24, 32. "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." For over 390 years, his bones stayed in Egypt. But he said, look, when you leave, because you are leaving, take my bones. Because God had predetermined that they would leave, that they would get out of there. We don't have time to go back and give the whole story, but we know it's true.
Amen.
Joseph believed the Word of God. He believed in the plan and purpose of God for Israel, just like it does say there in a little short capsule of it in Genesis 15 and verses 13 and 14. Genesis 15 and 13 and 14 says, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." That's Egypt. "And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. You say, "Now wait a minute. Joseph this, Joseph that." Well, you figure all the math. It does work out like I said. "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great inheritance." Hey, and when they got out of there, whose bones went with them?
Amen.
Joseph. That's predestination.
Amen.
That is predestination. Now, Romans chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me. The book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans 11, 25 tells us that Israel shall be saved by Christ. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And I believe that fullness is about here. It's about finished. "So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as according or as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Now what's going to happen? One of these days, the scales are going to fall from the eyes of the children of Israel, and they will be saved by what? Grace. They will be saved by grace. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. The book of Zechariah, chapter 12, and verse 10. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." They're going to see the one that they pierced. They're going to see the one who was crucified for their sins. They're going to go through the refiner's fire during the tribulation, but at the end they're going to see him. They're going to see Christ. They're going to look to Christ, and they shall be saved by grace. Ruth the Moabitess came out of the land of Moab with her mother-in-law. Orpah didn't come out, but Ruth did. And the Bible says that it was her hap to fall upon the field of Boaz and come into the line of the Lord Jesus. Now that word "hap" there doesn't mean happenstance, biblically. It's predestination. It was predestined that she fall upon that place, and that she would be loved by that man. And that man, Boaz, would be her husband, and that they would have a son. and that son and generations after would be in the line of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, the Bible is true, but what about God's predetermined purpose for the elect? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 5. Now you say, read verse number 4. I may do that. You know what it says. We just like to hear it read, don't we? But look at verse 5, because we're talking about predestination here. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. This tells us that predestination is real, that it is true, and that it is God's will and God's purpose.
Amen.
Salvation, according to verse 6, is to the praise and the glory of His grace. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Verse number 7 tells us that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Grace is getting that which we do not deserve. We don't deserve it.
Amen.
But yet according to His grace. I'm here tonight by grace. I'm here because of grace.
Amen.
There's no reason for my being here other than the grace of God.
Amen.
I want you to notice verse number 9. We see in understand what we do about salvation is all of grace. We see and understand all that we know about it by grace. It's not because you're smart enough. It's not because you're good enough. It's not because you are better than anybody else. It's because of the grace of God. Verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Word mystery there, mysterion, is very interesting. It means hidden or secret. And if the Lord hid it, you'll never see it until He reveals it to you. That's His secret. So He reveals it. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, the mysterion of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. That's predestination. He purposed that in Himself. And because of this, we know that salvation is of the Lord, according to His purpose, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having are being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. It's not that we're going to stand and sing like an old quartet used to sing, Lord, if anybody makes it to heaven, Lord, surely I will. If praying and reading the Bible and doing good will get you there, surely I will. Uh-uh. You'll say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for heaven. I'm not worthy of Your grace. But Lord, thank You. Thank You for saving. Thank You for what You've done for me. You and I who are saved are to the praise of His glory. We are. Now let us look back at Acts chapter 13, verse 48. My youngest daughter went to Christian school in Arkansas for her senior year. My son, my youngest son, lives over there, and she lived with him. They went to the Christian school there. And the principal of the school said, "I don't believe in this predestination. I don't believe in this election." And Bethany, 18 years old, 17, 18, went to him and in a very kind way said, "What do you do with Acts 13:48? And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." He said, "Well, those that believed were ordained." She said, "No, those that were ordained believed." And that's what it said. What the Bible teaches. Oh, there are those who try to twist it. They've been doing that for a long time. And in light of Romans 8:29 and 30, we see that predestination comes before calling. Let's go back there real quick. Romans 8 and 29 and 30. And this is in light of Acts 13:48. Romans 8 and 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, verse number 30. Let's follow it. Some call it a golden chain. Call it what you will. I call it Bible. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate," what did he do first? Predestinate. "Them he also called." That's next in line. Amen. "And whom he called, them he also justified." He saved them.
Amen.
Amen. "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now that's the order, is it not? It's the way it goes. And to break it in any place is wrong. This is what the Bible says. Dr. John Broadus, some of you remember an old Broadman hymnal. Any of y'all remember the Broadman hymnal? Several of you do. The old Broadman hymnal. Well, it's named after John Broadus and Basil Manly. Broad man. Broadus and Manly. That's where Broadman came from. These were great Bible scholars in days gone by. And Dr. Broadus said this of Acts 13, 48. He said, "Let the Scripture mean what it wants to mean. And you let the passage stand, ordination to precede eternal life. Ordination to eternal life takes place in eternity." Now that's the way it is. But you say, "Why do you preach?" I preach, "Whosoever will may come."
Amen.
I believe that. I believe you ought to preach to the lost. And I believe that if you'll come, He'll save you.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll come to Christ, He will save you. And friends, not one of God's decrees will fail. Every purpose will be accomplished. I believe in predestination.
Amen.
Is it a deterrent to evangelism? No. Just means the pond is stocked and I can go fishing.
Amen.
Amen? And if you're here tonight without Christ, let me encourage you to come to Him.
Amen.
Trust in Jesus. Those of you who know Him, you should rejoice in His grace. Rejoice in His grace.
Amen.